Our NHL insider is Elliot Friedman. Good morning, Elliot. How's you're back into it full swing? How do you feel?
I feel good. I'm shocked. You guys are early this week. You guys are never early.
Well, we're hoping that you're good finally, and
not my
fault. Lots of time
a,
for
I'm you. A hockey player. I'm always on time. Dean and Ryan, like, they babble away. And
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's our fault.
No, we were hoping that you might have something good. So I hope this goes well.
That's unlikely. I can tell you, you're going to be disappointed.
Ah, come on. So what's on the top of your mind? Obviously, teams are dipping their toe in. We can't talk about McDavid because we have already, and it's Calgary, and the tolerance is getting low. Where do you want to start?
Guys, are you guys doing okay, or where's the panic meter right now?
Well, it's a little high, but the thing is, he's that good. If he wasn't on the ice 5-on-5, whatever. Okay, well, it's a hockey game. Smith was good.
He's so good that even when we say we're not going to talk about him,
we're talking about him.
You end up talking about him.
You know, the thing that really was interesting for me was that last year in the playoffs, I don't know if shielded is the right word because I don't think you shield them, but they didn't put him head-to-head against the other team's best lines too much. You know, they used Nugent Hopkins in that role. They used some other guys in that role. You know, they decided on Wednesday night he was going to play Monahan. And I think that was a statement to the rest of the league that if you think we're going to match up where we're not going to put your best players or your best players aren't going to have to deal with Connor McDavid, those days are over. O-V-A-H. So it looks like McDavid's good. What I take from that game is that Edmonton's putting McDavid head-to-head against the best players.
It seems to me they're going to load up that one line, ask the other three lines to be responsible defensively, and knowing what he can do and what they can do in the power play, that probably is enough to not lose at home much.
No, you know, and the thing is, I think it is, like, I wonder, I think they'll go on a game-by-game basis, Ryan. I think they'll decide, like, hey, do we need Draisaitl, McDavid together tonight, or how's the game going? I think they'll use some flexibility. But yes, there's no question about it. He sent the message that you're going to have to deal with the super line a little bit this year. And holy cow, like I'm trying to find out, can you actually quantify if the guy's faster? Because it sure looks like he is.
He has to be. That's the thing. He's 20 years old. And he's only going to get better, you would think. Watching that game, and I know you'd probably agree, and we talked about it already, it's almost a different sport when he steps on the ice. You have to play the game completely different. I mean, Michael Ferland and TJ Brody, they just were not equipped to play the sport when he was on the ice on that one shift.
Yeah, I wonder what you're going to have to do now with your forwards and defense, because if you let him get any steam, I mean, you saw the one, too, where Hamonic was backing up, and, you know, he figured, okay, like, I know I just have to get to this spot, and I'm going to be in good position to deal with this guy. And he turned around, and he was right there. And, you know, no matter what they did, they were totally screwed. I know it was funny. There was one defenseman who texted me after the game, and he said, another team. And he said, holy cow, McDavid. And I looked at the schedule, and I said, good luck on this date. And he just started laughing. He said, yeah, I'm not making fun of those guys because I know I'm next. It's you know, everybody watches. I think the one thing I've really learned about this league is the great players, they watch. You know, Crosby watches. People watch other teams' games. The good players watch around the league. They see what's going on. And there's no question that guys were watching that game the other night, and they were like, oh, boy, this is going to be wonderful to deal with this year.
Just kind of, I guess, is there any point in asking you?
We have to get
turn
away.
Your mic on, dummy.
It is on, isn't it? Sorry. Eichel gets the big contract in Buffalo, and I'm played there. I'm excited about it. What are the Sabres going to look like?
Well, I watched them last night, and I'll tell you, there's already a controversy on game one. You know, he had Pominville look really good to get last night, but they go to the shootout with Montreal, and Eichel wasn't one of the shooters who was selected. And, you know, obviously I wasn't there, but I guess the room opened after, and they went to Eichel, and they started asking the question. He was smiling. He said, oh, I knew this one was coming. And he laughed and he said, I guess we, you know, he said, look, we got lots of guys on this team who can score. But that did not go unnoticed. I think the biggest thing, Rhett, was, you know, I think Buffalo knew he was going to be, the possibility existed he was going to be a $10 million guy. And I guess that's what the ask was in the summer. I just wasn't sure that Buffalo wanted to do it right now. I think they wanted to see how the season was going to go. I don't think they had any doubt that he eventually was going to get that contract or he was still their cornerstone player. But I don't know if they wanted as an organization to do it yet. And what happened was, I think, you know, they got to that point and Eichel said, you know, was kind of like, okay, you know, if you don't want to sign me, you know, we'll play and we'll see where this goes. And I think the Sabres just said, you know, why are we risking any issues with our star player, our franchise player? Let's get the deal done. And I have no doubt that guy is going to have a great year. I watched that game pretty closely last night, and he looked great, and Drouin looked great. And I guess game one of the season, everybody's happy when your stars look great.
It's one game in for a lot of great performances, so you have to take them with a grain of salt. Chicago scores 10. McDavid's not going to score 240. Ryan Hartman's not going to finish with 400 points. But could the Colorado Avalanche be good, Elliot?
I don't know if good's the answer, Ryan, but I think they're going to be better. You know, I had a chance to talk to Jared Bednar on Wednesday when he was driving. He was driving actually to the airport to fly to New York. And one of the things he really talked about was they got together as a group and they said, guys, like last year when it went bad, we were terrible with each other. And he talked about how they didn't support each other. Things really fell apart. And, you know, and they said that cannot happen this year. And I was watching a bit of that game last night and they were up 2-0. And Shattenkirk had a brilliant pass to Zibanejad to make it 2-1. And then the Rangers scored to tie it 2-2 with about 2 seconds left in the first period. And I remember thinking, looking at my notes and what Bednar had said, and I was like, all right, here's your first test. You've blown a 2-0 lead in game one on the road. What do you do? And they came back and they won. You know, Varlamov is so important to that team. But the other thing is, the one thing I really believe is I think they have some good young players. You know, Jost, Kerfoot. And, you know, but I think they've also really challenged McKinnon. You know, it's time, like, you know, you're good, but do you want to be elite? And I think McKinnon's going to have a good year. I don't think they're going to challenge for a playoff spot or anything. I just don't think they're deep enough. But I do think they're going to be a lot more competitive. And after last year, that's all you can really ask for in that situation.
Here in Calgary, Rhett kind of lost it Wednesday morning, and I think he was echoing a lot of Flames fan sentiments. Mark Jankowski gets sent down despite winning a job in camp, really, with his performance. What do you do with Matt Stajan, who's got 1 year left at 3.125 and is clearly a pillar in the community and a guy that's very deeply ingrained in the organization? How does this resolve itself?
Well, I think it'll resolve itself. Look, if there's too many more games like Wednesday night, it's going to resolve itself very quickly. I think that's one thing. You know, I wonder, you know, I think with Jankowski, I wonder if it was, you know, we don't want to put him in a position where he's not playing first or second line minutes. I always do wonder about that whenever a player gets sent down. You know, with Yamamoto, now, generally, by the way, Red, I do agree with you. I think if a guy deserves a job, he deserves a job. But I think with Edmonton, you know, you look at Yamamoto, they figured he was going to be a top line guy. And how much did he end up playing the other night? Like, I don't think you're doing yourself or your player a real service if you're putting him in a position where he doesn't play. And it was clear as that game went on, there just wasn't a lot of room for Yamamoto there. So
yeah, but he's an 18-year-old kid, and Jankowski's 23, and I don't know that they want Jankowski on the top two lines.
Well, you know, where would you put him then?
He's your fourth or third line center, yeah.
You know what, like, if he's your third line, okay, so wait a sec. So you're telling me that he's going to have a job over Bennett or Backlund or Monahan right now?
No, I would say the centers would be Monahan, Backlund, Bennett, and Jankowski, and Jankowski be on the fourth line.
Do you think that's really good for Mark Jankowski?
I don't think they expect him to be a 60, 70-point guy. I think they expect him to be a lower, a third, fourth center.
I don't know. I would hope that the ceiling there is a bit higher than that. I mean, I'm not sure it's 70 points, but I would hope it's a bit higher than that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I see him as... I would hope they would see him as potentially higher than the fourth line guy.
Well, I don't think you ever limit a guy's... But my point was all about the guys that they have playing aren't as good as him. And whether he's playing a fourth line, I don't care. He's going to help this team win. And they're saying the team's supposed to be winning now.
Yeah, well, the team definitely should be winning. I look at it this way. I think in the long... Generally, I agree with you, Red. If a guy deserves a job, give him the job. I'm a big believer in that. Like I do an Edmonton radio hit. They said Yamamoto or Puljujärvi. I said, who won the job? They said Yamamoto. I said, give him the job. I agree with that. I would say this. If I don't think that guy is too much longer for the American Hockey League. And I think that your general manager has shown that, especially by going out and getting Yager, that if they don't like what they've got, they're going to change it. So I would suspect that this is not going to be a long-term thing if things don't sort themselves out very quickly.
Just want to double back to Colorado, and I know that we've talked a lot about Matt Duchene. He gets a goal and an assist last night, but you mentioned the youth. Does that make him more likely to stay or more likely to go?
Oh, I think he's going. I just think it's a matter of when. I don't think they're going to be staying together for very long. I just think it's... Look, the one thing I really believed is the best thing Matt Duchene could do is show up and play great, and he took a big step towards that last night. The more he does that, the easier it's going to be for Colorado to find a trade partner. And I think he's going. I think it's just a question of when. And like I said, if he produces, he's getting traded, and that'll make it easier for them to trade.
Vegas tonight, what are they doing with their roster, and what are they going to look like on the ice? Do they still have like 1,000 D-men? I don't know that that works.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they had 11-9-3, and George McPhee said the other day it was going to end up being 12-8, and they put Pickard on waivers yesterday, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But I guess in the organization, they really, you know, they kind of like, they really, there's the goaltending coach there prior, apparently he really likes Malcolm Subban, so they want to work with him. You know, I'm curious to see if Pickard gets claimed today. They sent a bunch of guys down yesterday or the other day. I'm sure Shipachov is coming back up for the game. I don't know if Shea Theodore will, but I see a situation there where they sort it out and they get their best players in the lineup. And eventually, if they can't make a deal, they're going to have to put somebody on waivers and risk that they get claimed.
It didn't go as it was supposed to, did it, for George McPhee, all those D-men?
Well, I think what happened, Ryan, was they really wielded the hammer. Like, you know, they came out and they put a situation where when around the expansion draft, they said, if you want to make a deal with us, you've got to pledge that you're not going to make a deal with anyone else. And guys needed to make moves, so they kind of said, okay, I guess we'll do it. But it was almost like they said, look, like we've got to do this now, but, you know, when the time comes, we're going to remember. And now, you know, George is sitting there. I think he has 10 defensemen on one-way contracts or 10 defensemen that got to clear waivers. And he's like, okay, and they're like, okay, well, now we've got the hammer. So we're going to make life a little bit more difficult on you. And I think it's kind of, this league tends to be like that, like guys don't forget. So I think that's exactly what's going on.
Again, overreaction, it's one game, but I'm very curious, and people are going to give me a hard time, but about what's going on in Winnipeg. They come out, they get Steve Mason, he didn't look good, they sign Ehlers to the extension, these extensions for Paul Maurice and the GM, and I mean, if they have a slow start, would the move not be to replace Paul Maurice as opposed to give him an extension? I just don't know. Have they, between discipline and goaltending, have they, in your mind, addressed their shortcomings?
Well, you know, to me, the thing that scared me the most about them the other day was they go out and they make a really smart move in training camp where they bring in Paul Dvorsky. And they said, you know what, come on in and show us how the penalties work. And so I thought that was a brilliant move. So he goes in there and, he calls penalties on them, and they come out and they play great for 15 minutes, and then they have Toronto on the run. Anderson is holding the fort, and then they start committing like just obvious dumb penalties. And Toronto, like, you can be killing them for 40 minutes, but if you give those guys an opportunity, they will bury you. And that's exactly what happened. They got the power play. They scored. All of a sudden, they're like, all right. And Winnipeg just folded, and they kept on doing it. Like, you know, to me, at some point, you got to say, you got to bench someone. You got to say to somebody, all right, you know, we went through this and you did it. You know, someone's not going to play. And I think that's the only way you're going to get the message across. Now, about the extensions, I really think this. They extended a few years ago Claude Noel for 1 year. And the whole year, the storyline was Noel's job. And I think, I know there's some GMs who feel in Canadian cities, you cannot allow your coach to get into the last year of his contract. You either extend him or you maybe get rid of them. And I think they look at it like Maurice was going to his last year. I think it's a short extension, probably a couple years. And they just said, look, like, we don't want that again after what happened with Claude Noel and the media. So I think that's what their thinking was. But I look at them and I say, at a certain point, you have to do something with your players, say, guys, if you're going to commit these penalties, you're going to sit.
What else is happening? You got the you're going to be breaking all kinds of news on Hockey Night in Canada, like we know you do. What?
We'll see.
Give us a taste.
I don't know yet. Like, it's still really early. Jágr is, you know, the Jágr story's done because we know where he's playing. You know, I don't know yet. Like, I don't know if anybody. I mean, you mentioned Duchesne. Like, we're all wondering what's going to happen with that. I think.
Well, you know what, Elliot? Let me jump in on you. Let's go there. What do you, Jágr in Calgary? Do you like the fit? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I like the fit. I think that Calgary did the smart thing. I mean, they waited, and all the teams that were interested waited to see what they had. You know, I think they're probably a little disappointed that they had to go that route in the sense that nobody came up and took the job. But, you know, I think Jágr's going to be – I don't think he liked it. Like, I looked at Jágr's – whenever you do a press conference, you watch a guy's face, his eyes. Like, that's what tells you what they really think. And I saw a guy that was really disappointed he had to wait this long to find an NHL job this year. And when he talked about, he kind of said, like, this is going to be his last NHL deal, I think he knows that that was the message to him, that this might be it. So, you know, I think you're going to have a guy there who's anxious, who's going to want to do something. I think it'll be interesting. I think the one thing is, you know, he's a third-line player right now. He's a second-line power play guy. You know, things can change. Maybe he'll be higher. But I think he has a chance to really help you. I'm just curious to see how he's going to feel about being that kind of role, because he's never been in that kind of a role before.
All right, sir. Have a fine weekend. Have a good week. We'll catch up on Friday.
All right, boys. Take care.